Looking at Revelation 21:5. Revelation 21:5. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you give us ears to hear. I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Give me the proper words to speak to represent you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 21:5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." You may be seated. Yeah, as we come, you know, this is the last Sunday that we have before the new year, and I think as we look toward the future of that new year, I'd like us to look at ourselves and look at ourselves through the lens of Christianity and what the Bible teaches us. You know, the verse here that I quoted is when John is taken up off the island, Patmos, and he's before God, and he's talking about the new heavens, new earth, how everything will be transformed. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing for believers, a beautiful thing for us to look forward to, our life in paradise. But our God does not change. He is the God of new things. He always has been the God of new things. We change, our God does not change. He changes us. So I think we have to look at what the Lord has done for us. For us. So we come to him with grateful hearts for this new year and saying, "Lord, what can I do for you? Not only in this next year, but how can I serve you from this time forward?" You know, we were new when God created mankind, when God created us. He knew us when he knit us together in our mother's womb. And in Genesis 1:27, it said, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You know, there was no mankind before God created a new mankind. There was never a new you or an old you. It's a new you. Each and every one of us have been individually created by God and unique. God has given us life, something we should be grateful for. But moreover, we were created in his image, which gives us great value just because we were created in that image. It's amazing the value that God sees in each and every one of us. You know, in Genesis 1:31, it says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good." Very good. We were made very good. You know, we are a marvel of creation. The complex bodies we reside in are far too majestic for us to ever fully comprehend. You know, I prayed earlier, there's many people out sick today. But yet these bodies, for the most part, throughout our lives, fight these viruses and germs. We bounce back, and then we go right back with our life. With no intervention, usually from any doctor or anything. But it's the body that God has given us. That many times it mends itself. You cut yourself, a couple weeks later, you can't hardly see it. We'll never fully comprehend how complex these bodies are that God has given us. You know, it tells us, "Behold, he is making all things new." New life he gives the parents as we see the children here. And these are gifts from God, something new. You know, we are indeed his greatest creation. He put us in authority. He gave us the charge over his other handiwork. In Psalm 8, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You know, that should really humble us before our God. That this beautiful creation, this earth that we call home, he has put under us, our authority. You know, there was no earth. That is new when God created it. Our God has always been creating things new for us. You know, in Psalm 89:11, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded it. You know, there was nothing. Yet he made this beautiful planet for us to live in. Yes, it does proclaim his handiwork. But who does it proclaim it to? It proclaims it to us, the inhabitants of that handiwork. He gave us all the animals and all the plants. They were new. Food for us. Pleasure for us. You know, look at our generation. We can look at videos shot from the deepest parts of the ocean to the highest mountain peak. It shows us all of God's wonders, which were new wonders created for by God, but for our benefit. We can go to the grocery store and get food from all over the world. That did not exist before God made all those things new. He not only created the earth, but he created the universe. And everything works together precisely. The sun was new. The moon was new. With neither one, we wouldn't exist. What grateful people we should be. Because all these splendors point to how great our God is, so much greater than man. That is right for us to worship him, to humble ourselves before him. In Psalm 8:3, when I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. But they were set in place so we can recognize his glory, his majesty. The heavens declare the glory of God in Psalm 19, it tells us. Then the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuits to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. You know, this glory, this majestic heavens, this revelation from God that is given to us day by day, is to let us know the place we have in this universe. We are a human, his creation. You know, it tells us about our God in Romans 1:20. And this is a new revelation about God when he created the heavens and the earth. When he gave us his book, when he walked among us. But it tells us for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. He's telling us man is without excuse to glorify God, to praise Him just on the things that we see around us. That's what we were created to do. We were created for God. It tells us in Isaiah 43:19, everyone who was called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And later on in verse 20 of the same chapter, the wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. You know, it can't get any clearer. We were created to give God glory and to praise Him. And He rightfully deserves it. He rightfully deserves it because He did make us new. Just the fact that you're here, a new creation, you're here. But we are the ones who benefit. When we praise and glorify God, when we recognize our place in this new world that has been set up for us, we are the ones who benefit. When we live our lives out according to what God wants, according to His universal plan. In Jeremiah 21:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and the hope. And in John 15:11, it tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, when we recognize God for who He truly is, we are the ones who are blessed. Because we are made for Him. We receive a new type of joy, a new type of peace, which gives us a new foundation, a new base, a new heart. We understand the new covenant, the covenant of grace that He has set up. The covenant that He, as the second Adam, gave to us to give us that spiritual transformation in our being, which is solely based on His promises. You know, that's a covenant where He is the covenant head. Our side of the covenant was fulfilled by Him. It will never be invalidated. We cannot do anything to break that covenant because we did not have the power to enter into it. It was a gift from God. Again, our part of that covenant was paid fully by Jesus Christ and His blood, the new covenant. And He did it perfectly for our behalf. We merely have to grasp onto the promises. And when we do that covenant, when we grasp onto that, our entrance into it is secured for all eternity. Jesus will lose none that the Father has given Him. You know, Spurgeon states this clearly. Today, believers are not under the covenant of if thou doest, this thou shalt live. But under the new covenant which says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It is now, not now do I do and live, but live and do. We think not of merit and reward, but of free grace producing holy practice as the results of gratitude. What law could not do, grace has accomplished. And yes, saints, we have been made new by that grace. We have been given that new heart tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And with that comes a new heart, new desires, new goals, which will now dictate our very lives. And that truly is a supernatural new event for each believer. Because God calls you to salvation, and then he starts to sanctify us, to be used by him, for him. Because it is that Holy Spirit working within us, which is a new thing for the believer, something we did not have when we were walking in the flesh. And we are now heirs, we are brothers with God. We are part of the family of God. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Again, that new transformation has occurred in believers. We are a new creation. We receive the Holy Spirit, new desires. We have a new future, a new hope. And we are being continually transformed by that Holy Spirit. When that Holy Spirit is in us, it will work in us. In Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He dwells in us to transform us. We have that new power within us. That is the power that gives us a desire to seek out the truths from the Scriptures. The Scriptures are no longer foolishness, as they are to non-believers. But yet this creation, this new creation, is at war with the old man living within. And that war will continue. But you know, just that tension that we feel, that difficulty, that new conscience that came into us is a good sign, because that is the evidence of the struggle for power by the Holy Spirit, which it rightly deserves. And it will come to completion in God's timing. You know, he who started that good work in you will finish it. However, we may feel that we lose zeal for the Lord, we may grow weary from the trials of this world, the burdens of life, or the pleasures of life. We may grasp onto the old ways and not want to release them. You know, years ago when we deer hunted, when I was quite a bit younger, we used to do a lot of drives, which means walking through a lot of thick cover, willows, cattails, swamps, trying to chase the deer out for other people. We had a group of guys that hunted continually together. My brother-in-law asked if some friends could come along. So he brought three or four of his friends, I don't remember, but I told him, I said, make sure and tell those guys, if they're not used to deer driving, not to dress too warm, because we do a lot of walking, and it was supposed to be 50 degrees that year for deer hunting. And I knew these guys were from up north in the Stevens Point area, where deer hunting is a lot different. They go out and stand in the same spot mostly all day. Well, they showed up. Most of the guys, including me, we had our flannel shirt on and a real light orange vest and hip boots. Because it was going to be 50 degrees and we knew we were going to get a workout. They came in and they had big coveralls, quilted coveralls, heavy hats, heavy mittens, big boots with felt liners in. And I thought, well, this isn't going to be good. They didn't wear hip boots, so when they tried to cross the creeks on logs or jump it, they fell in. Their boots were wet and heavy. After a few drives, they were carrying their coats and their things because they were sweating so much they couldn't hardly do anything. About mid-morning, late morning, they were done. They couldn't achieve the task they wanted to do because they were carrying too much baggage. You know, that's like us as believers. There's so many trinkets in this world. We try to grab this one and that one. And then we try to serve the Lord. And we're burdened down with all these things of the earth that we keep using our time and our efforts for. And we just don't let them go. So what happens? We get a little older. We don't have the energy that we used to, the stamina. But we don't want to let go of all these earthly things, yet we should be serving God. So we fall short of the true goal. Whereas if we'd let go of the things of the earth, we would be available to serve God. Because that's where it starts. We would be available. How can we do the job if we don't even show up? If we're too busy carrying all this other stuff, and it's wearing us out, or taking our times and our talents. You know, we are people for His own possession. And the Holy Spirit changes us daily. Each day is new. So how do we rid ourselves of these unnecessary burdens we carry throughout life? No, we are made for God's possession. We are His people to delight and praise and worship God. And that is where it starts. We must renew ourselves and come to here joyfully, seeking God's will, renewing our lives with His word, worship and praise. You know, His word is sufficient for all of life. It will give us that wisdom to know what to let go of and what to cling on to. You know, as we study His word, those shiny objects will lose their luster. And we will see them for what some of them are. Snares put in our way from Satan. But we must seek out the discernment through God's word, His wisdom, His knowledge, and not lean on our own understanding. You know, and some of us may have never really risen above the platform of salvation. We never wanted to leave our comfort zone. We like all those shiny objects around us. We may be saved, but we don't want to give up any of them. But you know, God makes you new every day. You know, God can take the worst of us, the most selfish of us, and transform our hearts where we start casting those shiny objects off to the side. And He can elevate us to different levels of maturity where we are striving full force for the family of God, for His church, building His kingdom. But we must release the trinkets of this world. You know, seriously studying God's word. And then going, Lord, how can I instill this into my life. We must show up for the Great Commission. We must be able to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You know, this could be the new year where God opens those floodgates up for a whole new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you know, if you're a believer, that Holy Spirit is working within you right now and has been working within you. And if there's tension now in you at some of the trinkets, you know you should let go. That's the Holy Spirit working within you. Tells us in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Saints, you have been called according to His purpose. You know, and I just pray for this new year that we seek out what His purpose is for our lives. And we let go of the things that are holding us back, weighting us down, taking all our time and effort, and grasp onto what the purpose He has for us. And we may feel like we're not qualified for anything, but as soon as you have been saved, you've signed up for duty. And God can take and transform you when you show up and say, "Lord, here I am. Use me." That's where it starts. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come into the new year, I just pray that You give us wisdom and discernment and burden us to serve You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.